Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
And here is Pastor Tom.
Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, good morning, good morning. My name is Tom Kyle. The pretty girl who is sitting next to me is Randy Kyle. And we have the privilege of serving this community, and we love this family, we love this church. Welcome this morning, and we are thrilled that you're here. All you live stream watchers at home, we welcome you. We're thrilled that you're with us. Don't know how many are watching this morning, but we know there's different folks in different states even, folks who can't make it here. But we love having you with us, and we miss you, we love you. Has anybody noticed renovation? I see that hand. So back here, if everybody could kind of turn to your left or your right, depending on where you're sitting. Look at that, plastique. Now, if you can look back up here, and I don't know how I'm going to work this into the message, I actually do. Look, the dove, the stained glass, it's up here. It used to be in the back, renovation, construction. So we appreciate your patience. Landon, if you're sitting in dust back there, I'm sorry. You know, you're going to have that salt and pepper look. It's gorgeous. Everybody's going to love the look. But just for the inconvenience, we apologize. That'll be over the next few weeks. It's okay. It's good. For all those folks who help clean up, I don't know, Ed and Judy, if they're here or not. Ed and Judy. They were cleaning this week. We appreciate it. Thank you. We have a couple of folks here from, several folks from England. Where's our English? There they are. David and Elaine. Could you guys, could the whole Williams family, could you hold, all of you stand up, please? They love it when I do this. This is the Williams family. This is Andy's mom and dad from, you all can sit back down. Afterwards, we're going to give you money, sweets. That's like candy. Sweets. You're going to get gifts from everybody now that we've isolated and everybody knows who you are. But they're from the Bath area as well. They're British. We're not going to make any other comments about the Brits this morning. We've never done that. We never will do that. Oh, my goodness. Actually, I'm headed to Bath, England this afternoon. We're just kind of changing and going that way. I'll be back shortly. I'll be back before you guys go back. But we love the Williams family. Thank you for sowing your children, your grandchildren. We're sorry. It's not my fault. It's Jesus. But we do love having you with us. It's great to hear you. We expect you to go back to Bath with proper accents. If you can just throw in a y'all, you know, something like that. Start chewing gum. Ideas. You know, it's we create opportunities for people to be just like us. You can reject that in Jesus' name, and it's fine. Next Sunday, just before I begin, look, they already started the countdown. Give me time. That's for me, not them. It's okay. Next Sunday, we are going to have baptisms during the meeting. There are several people who have come to me over the last 3 to 4 months. I want to get baptized. Next Sunday, we want to baptize some people. If you would like to be baptized next Sunday, we're going to do it right here in this building. Would you please, John, could you please stand up real quick? John wants to get wet with you. If you could please let us know ahead of time. We're going to have the baptism right here in the auditorium. It's going to be great. I think there's like a sprinkler. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. No, we will have a proper baptismal next Sunday. But please, if you would like to, we'd like to do that next Sunday. On the 28th, it'd be great. And as we heard, it's not just a symbolic thing, but it's being washed, being bathed clean, like we heard this morning. I don't know if that was Mr. Levesque, but it's huge. I remember when I got baptized in water, it was just my whole life changed. It was amazing. It was incredible. Please step into that. It's part of our salvation experience. Something actually happens on the inside. It's not just symbolic. We believe what the Bible says. The Bible is true. It's the Word of God, and we obey what Jesus says and does. Amen? Amen. Amen. So please see John Block. This morning, I want to continue on in a series on the book of Acts. I'm really, really, really excited about this morning's message. I can't wait to get into it. So if you haven't been here over the last few weeks, we have been moving slowly through the book of Acts. And this morning, we are going to step into chapter 6 of Acts. If you haven't been here before, you're like, well, each week is separate, standalone. It's on its own. You're going to love this morning. And I, in Jesus' name, you're going to love it. It's going to be great. In Acts chapter 6, great things are happening. But one of the things that I so appreciate about the book of Acts, so you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jesus lives. The Bible actually says every book contained, the books of the earth couldn't hold everything that Jesus did and said. So many of the things that Jesus did and said are contained in the Gospels. Then in the book of Acts, Jesus is resurrected. He's gone to heaven. The church is exploded on the face of the earth. Amazing things happen. And when Jesus was here, everyone understood there he is. That's him. That's the model. He's amazing. Now Jesus is gone. And as we heard earlier, the disciples, you know, at the Last Supper, at the Passover, Jesus is about ready to go to the cross. And at that last moment, after 3.5 years, they're still arguing who's the greatest amongst them. And they're not thinking, you are. That wasn't the problem. Who's the greatest in the room is right here. I'm the man. And can you just imagine Jesus? But he has faith for us. Because I said a couple of weeks ago, there are orange cones around each of us. We are under construction. He's patient. He's kind. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. But Jesus came to bring heaven to earth. He said, and Jesus said about himself, if you've seen me, Jesus, you've seen him. He came to show humanity, show human beings what heaven is like, what his Father is like. And then the Bible is written so that we have a glimpse into it, so that we can understand. But Jesus came to institute, to show amongst the Jewish nation at that time what heaven is like, what the kingdom culture is like. Because they had an understanding, they had a representation. Israel was God's chosen people. He was unique amongst them. And the Jewish people were a peculiar people amongst the nations. They were clearly set apart. But like us, like them, they had some things very, very right, very beautiful, very excellent, very fantastic, very heavenly. But there's so many other things in that nation that were so wrong. And Jesus came to say, this, Jesus, myself, this is what heaven looks like. This is what it sounds like. This is what it acts like. This is what it smells like. And 2,000 years later, we're still walking into the culture of heaven. Bringing heaven to earth, the kingdom culture. The kingdom culture, as I talked about 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks ago, the kingdom culture is not American, and it's not British. I want to offend all of y'all. It's not British. It's not American. It's not English speaking. It's not white. It's not Hispanic. It's not black. It's not Jewish. It's heaven. As we heard earlier, it's the kingdom of heaven. It's the opposite of so much of what our world would purport and say, you have to act like this. You have to fit in. This is the right way to live. And if you don't live like this, we'll castigate you. We'll mock you. We'll attack you if you don't live like what we say you should live like. But Jesus came and said, no. Heaven is so different. We have the Word of God set out so beautifully so that we could understand and comprehend. Because I don't know about you, I didn't pick my parents. I didn't pick the country I was born in. I didn't have anything to do about anything. He just set me into this time, this country, my family, my parents. And it's so easy to think, well, my way of thinking is right. My way of thinking is better. My culture is better. It's all I know. And Jesus stepped into humanity physically, born as we know into a stable, lived 33 years, went to heaven, and the church exploded. Weeks later, the day of Pentecost. Amazing things. It starts in chapter 1 of Acts. Amazing things happening in the book of Acts as it tells the story of how the church started. Amazing things. Crazy things. Miracles. Jesus' life exploded. Satan thought he lied, as Satan does. We already heard that. They thought they'd won. We've killed Jesus. We win. And now the Spirit of God falls on men and women, flesh, as is prophesied in Joel chapter 2. All humanity, the Spirit of God falls on people, human beings. And now there's hundreds and thousands of Jesus followers acting just like Jesus, but now filled with the Spirit of God, changed from the inside out. The church began, and thousands, thousands, thousands of people began to follow Jesus and become saved, if you will, saved from this corrupt world and born again, birthed into the kingdom of heaven. Baptized in water, baptized by the Spirit. And we read in weeks ago, chapter 2, chapter 4, people who before were probably stingy, stodgy, curmudgeonly. Now all of a sudden, I know, that's it, I'm done. It's the only big word I know today. Stingy, gripey people. Now they're selling properties to bless poor people. Sharing money. Who does that? Crazy people. No, people in love with Jesus. Filled with the Spirit of heaven. Recognizing I'm not living for this life. But I have, just like Jesus, I want to touch the unlovely. I want to touch those things that are before I was repelled, and now I want to touch people that offended me. I want to touch them and bless them and love them in a real way. People living supernaturally, generously. How do you do that? Get filled with the Spirit of Jesus and let it spill and splash out. They're meeting together every day, sharing meal, praying together. And then persecution breaks out. The Jewish nation hates it because they thought they'd killed this Jesus. We're done with him. And now it's just exponentially exploding around them. And the Jewish leaders tried to keep it confined. They even, as we looked at a couple of weeks ago in chapter 4 and 5, they're beating the disciples. Don't tell any more about Jesus. We're going to flog you, beat you. And then the disciples, these same guys who weeks before are arguing about who's the greatest, who's the coolest amongst them, they're actually rejoicing that they were found worthy to be persecuted, beaten for Jesus' name. You're like, what? Who are these people? Same people, but now they're totally different. But they still have personalities. They still have themselves. And yet the Lord supernaturally, sovereignly has people placed inside the nation to protect them and help them, these early church, the early disciples. I was thinking all week, and I'd prepared my notes, and then I heard this amazing human being's name mentioned last night, but I think it was a correction on how to actually pronounce his name. Gamaliel. I think a couple of weeks ago I said Gamaliel. Gamaliel. He's a very prominent Jewish leader, a scholar. And as they're deciding, should we kill these people? What should we? We need to rid the nation of these people. Peter and John, let's kill them. And this leader, this Jewish man, stands up under the unction of the Holy Spirit, didn't even know it. He says, don't do it. If God is with them, we're going to find ourselves fighting against God. So, okay, well, we'll just beat them up. Just whip them. Oh, well, that's cool. And the disciples walk out thinking, thank you, Jesus, that they would beat me for your name. It's like, who are these people? As we read through Acts and we start and we think, oh my gosh, I wish we could go back where there's just no problems. There's no issues. People are getting healed, saved, born again. It's amazing. It's all sunshine, lollipops, rainbows. And then this weird thing happens. These same people who were born again begin to be people. And that's one of the things I love about the Bible. It shows warts and pimples, wrinkles and bad breath and stinky feet, all exposed in the Bible. Why are there problems? Because people are involved. Messy things start to happen to this beautiful, perfect church. I mean, they're selling property and giving it away to poor people. It's amazing. And so many people, I heard from somebody this week, oh, I wish we could go back to the 70s and 80s when it was perfect. And I'm like, I was there. I can name names. I was involved. It's so funny. I was in a meeting this last week with a friend of mine. There was probably 12 of us in the room. And this gentleman, I've been friends with him for 45 years. And he says, I remember, Tom. It was like 1980. You were really proud. I was like, yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I was. And then life happens. And Jesus takes an incredibly imperfect people and he pours his spirit out. But you know what? So often, we're still people. Anybody still have challenges in their life? Anybody still have attitudes that stink? Anybody have problems? Okay, spouses, don't raise your hand. Messy things happen in life. In Acts chapter 5, we looked at it a couple of weeks ago, about this beautiful couple, Annie and Sapphi, Ananias and Sapphira. They saw, man, you give stuff away, you get promoted. That's how you get promoted. That's how you get acknowledged. That's how your name will be remembered. Give stuff away. Well, early church was messy, really messy. What a cool church when people start dying when you get together. Don't you want to be part of that group? But the Bible is so clear. It says he cares about his church because it's his church. And he involves me in it. He involves you in it. And life is messy. People are messy. People are messy because we're not perfect. We're far from perfect. And the closer you get, the more you smell my breath when I'm not drinking minty fresh water. Messy people. Messy, messy, messy. First four chapters of Acts, man, it's awesome. Healings, thousands getting saved, sharing property, sharing. Oh, it's just incredible. And then Acts chapter 5 starts with Ananias and Sapphira. You're like, ooh, ooh. Well, I'm glad we're done with that chapter. Then we start with Acts chapter 6. And I love the Bible. It's not phony, it's real. And it tells real challenges, real problems. And I'm so blessed that Jesus loves us enough that he would put stuff in here to realize there was no perfect people because people are involved. And we can think, if you're in a marriage, you can think every other marriage is pretty wonderful, but if you only knew my husband, I've got problems. Everybody else is normal. They're all great. They don't have problems. But Acts chapter 6 happens, and the church is continuing to grow. Great things happen. More and more and more people. But as the church grows, anybody ever had a new car? A brand new car? Anybody ever drive the car off the lot? Yeah. What are you afraid of when you drive the car off the lot? I'm going to park next to Mike Smith. And he's going to open that door. Hello, new car. dings and scratches. And life is like that. New church, dings start happening, scratches, and oh, is it irritating when someone scratches and dings your new car. And the Bible talks about it because the Bible is real. Conflicts, people and conflicts. My wife and I had the privilege and pleasure of going to England in the 80s, and we went to a Bible school in the 80s. And I think we actually have a couple of pictures. I don't know if we've got, you know, those two pictures of a place. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. That's where we lived. Sussex Street. It was in the middle of Keighley, West Yorkshire. That's the backyard. Looks better with the sunshine. That was the house that in our, it was kind of a three-story house, really tiny, small. But we had an open sewer in the basement. We had rats in the basement. And then there's the rest of the house. Woohoo! It was pretty cool. But in that house, we arrived there a couple of months into school. It was a kind of a soft start, soft landing. But we had a three-year-old little girl, we. Isn't it amazing how my wife says, I had a baby. We had babies. We had a three-year-old and we had a six-month-old. And our six-month-old child, he's the golden child, the favored one, the special child. That's what the siblings say.
They know
the truth. Mom says, oh, no, he's not. Yes, he is. Well, this beautiful six-year-old little boy, Stephen, six months old. It's very relevant to the story. He's a baby. Having formula. And when we moved into that house that was up there, that blank house, we moved into that house and we were so excited because there was a microwave oven in it. And in England, there weren't that many microwave ovens. But we had one. You do the formula, it just makes things so much easier. 6-month-old baby. A lot of formula, a lot of warming up. And we were, the Americans, there's only two American couples in this church, in this school. And word got around to some of the other students that we had a microwave. And guess what's cool? They didn't. We have a microwave. They didn't. And all the students were in rental accommodation. And they were so excited that they didn't have one. And so the dean of the Bible college came to our house one morning. And he took our microwave. We'll call him Hank. If your name's Hank, it's okay. You're probably not a thief. Hank, the dean of the Bible school, came and took our microwave and took it out of our house. My wife was so happy. She was singing and rejoicing that she was counted worthy to suffer for Jesus' name. And so she said to her husband, you get over there and talk to Hank. So I went over to Hank's office. He's an American. It's okay. We'll forgive him. I said, Hank, what happened to our microwave? And he said, oh, you had a microwave. Had. And I said, yeah, we did. We would like it back if possible. It was not broken. And he said, well, some of the other students heard that you have a microwave and they're not happy. So I took it. Makes perfect sense. And I said, we'll do this. I said, it's okay. We're just glad, honestly. This is when I thought, okay, what would Jesus say? Bad attitude gone. What would Jesus do? Happy Tom, kind Tom, godly Tom. Well, tell whoever's going to use it, enjoy it. But Hank had news for me. He said, no, nobody's going to use it. I'm putting it back in the attic, in the church attic. Because nobody gets the microwave. I was okay up till now. I said, no, Hank, give it to the other family. Just please give it to, we don't care. It's okay. We're okay. He said, no, no, nobody gets it. Put it, it's in the church attic. And I said, what part? No, it's in the church attic. Nobody gets the microwave oven. Nobody. I challenged Hank's thought process. I was young. And Hank irritated me before the microwave. Isn't it amazing how the Lord brings Hanks into your life? I let Hank know I thought he was making a mistake. And I questioned his intelligence. I thought it was legit. And our entire time in the Bible college, the microwave stayed in the attic. And Hank stayed as the dean of students. I was so excited about people. There was a conflict. And that's how Hank decided to resolve it. Nobody gets the use of it. Okay. Jesus can fix stupid. Acts chapter 6. Let's start. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Reading from the NIV. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. The church is growing. People are getting saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. People are getting healed. Amazing. But something happened. People happened. Complaining happened. An inequality and injustice. Can you believe it? In a church? People complaining? I've never heard of such a thing. Thank goodness it was 2,000 years ago. I've never been in a church that's ever had any complaining. How ridiculous. Complaining. Pfft. Silly people. Widows. They're the worst. They're always complaining. It's so easy to think, what in the world is going on? Why are there conflicts? Because we're people. And you have a group of people who are already broken, already hurt, already wounded, already lost. They're suffering grievous loss. And in this culture, a widow who'd lost her husband was even more vulnerable. 10 times more vulnerable than what we would have in our culture. Just vulnerable in this culture. It was a male-dominated society, and I'll just leave it at that for this morning. Male-dominated society. They didn't have life insurance in that day, and the widows were vulnerable, as they are in every society, every time. And they're used to, and they need to be, God's heart is to love the widows. In fact, there's a scripture in Exodus, if we could put that one up. What is God's heart? This is what the Bible says. This is Older Testament. Do not take advantage of the widow or the fatherless. If you do, don't take advantage of them, but if you do, and they cry out to me, the Lord God, I will certainly hear their cry. My anger, the Lord's anger, will be aroused, and I will kill you with the sword. Happy message. Your wives will become widows. And your children fatherless. I think the Lord cares about vulnerable people. I think the Lord cares about hurting people. I think the Lord cares about widows and the orphan. And we can carry on with our busy lives and forget about the vulnerable amongst us, the hurting amongst us. But guess who doesn't forget about them? The Lord has a heart for widows and orphans, and He cares about what happens to them and what goes on behind their doors and their heads when it hits the pillow and there's not a head next to them that's always been there. The Lord cares. And the Lord takes it very personally how we treat other people who are hurting with a sense of loss. And I might hear a complaint from somebody at work next to me. I might hear a complaint from somebody standing in line at a fast food. But when the widows are hurting, their cry goes before the Lord Almighty. And the people of God are held accountable for how we look after, especially in this society. They didn't have so much of what we would have. And in this society, there were two different groups. And the church was birthed out of, and the only people in the church at this point were Jewish people. That's it. All of them were Jews. And in this church, and in Judaism at this time, there were two groups of women. In the Jewish nation, there were two different groups of women, widows. One was the Jewish, the Hebraic, and there were also the Hellenistic Jews, already in the Israel. Had nothing to do with the church. They're already there. The Hellenistic Jews were more modern. Most of them were outside of Jerusalem, outside of Judea. And they had adopted the Greek culture. And they spoke Greek. They were more modern, more trendy, more up-to-date, if you were. The Hebraic people and the widows subsequent were old school. They only spoke Aramaic. And they held to all the traditions of the Jewish nation. And in the Jewish culture, there were two different sets of people, the Aramaic-speaking and the Greek-speaking Jews. And out of this people group, the church is birthed. The church starts, and now the church assimilates into their population two different people groups, Aramaic-speaking Jews and Hellenistic Jews. And as the church explodes, something happens. The same Hellenistic Jews begin saying, we're not old school like the real, you know, practicing old school traditionalist Jews, and we're being overlooked in the distribution of food. It's a real problem, really happened. And what they did was they said, it's not fair, it's not right. Who's going to represent us? Does anybody care? It's not okay. A problem erupts in the church. It's a problem that could split the church unless it's carefully handled with integrity, with righteousness. They're both Jewish. There's no Gentiles. There are no Gentiles in the church of Jesus Christ at this point. They're all Jews. Just two very different people groups inside of this new church. One very traditional and one... they speak Greek. They have Greek culture. They're Hellenistic. Compromised. If y'all would just come back and set down your Greek culture and stop being different and get on board with what's right, then it'd be okay. Traditionalist versus the modernist. I'm glad we don't have that issue amongst us. People who believe different. And this is not a generational problem. This is a different culture, a different way of thinking. It's not young people versus old people. It's just the way people are different. It's not a new problem. These are all brand new converts, and they're all coming in with baggage. Anybody come into life with baggage? The old way of thinking, the old way of living? And it's all you know because that's all you know. It's your baggage. It's your culture. It's your background. And we all come in with bias. We all come in with prejudice about the way things are, the way things should be. It's going to get better, Heather. All these people have got history. You have the conservative traditionalist versus the modern. Let's just change some things. It's okay. There's a big world out there. And it's a challenge. A division, a potential church split happens immediately in this brand new church, Jesus' church that he died for. Widows, the most vulnerable people you could have. And they're voicing reality. We're being overlooked. It's not okay. Why are you preferring this people over us? And can you imagine the traditionalists? What did we do? We didn't do anything. We didn't do anything. And these Hellenistic Jews are like, you're being favored over us. Sometimes the biggest offense is one that's not intended. It just happens. Somebody's hurt. Well, I didn't do anything. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. But there's hurt people. You got a brand new church, and somebody's being slighted and overlooked. So the leaders, the apostles, the problem isn't there's a conflict. The problem is how are they going to sort it out? The problem isn't the conflict. How are you going to sort it out? What are you going to do about it? So the 12 in verse 2, there's a bomb about ready to go off in the church, this brand new church. A hurt bomb, beautiful, beautiful widows. And some of them are getting slighted. And they raise their hands and they say, you need to know about this. The leaders could have said this, all you complainers, get out. But they didn't do that. They could have said, you need to repent. They didn't do that. Because with the widows who were hurting, they weren't complaining. They were addressing inequity. Verse 2, chapter 6. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. I loved what they did. There's a real conflict, a real problem going on. And the apostles decided to do something beautiful. Let's figure it out. And you know who they looked to? They didn't look for the best people to do the job, the administrators. Let's call all the administrators together. Who has an administrative gift amongst us? Okay, we'll start with the accountants. We're going to start with the school teachers. They know how a classroom should work. Nope. What they were looking for because of the conflict was this. Who's full of wisdom? Who's full of the Holy Spirit? We've got a real conflict going on. Who's full of wisdom? Who's full of the Holy Spirit? Who's full of faith? That's your list of qualifications, not your administration people. That's down the road. And they gave it to the church to figure out. Find out amongst yourselves who's gifted, and we'll get behind them. It's wrong for us to give ourselves to that. And you could say, oh, it's beneath them. I don't believe so. I believe they understood, let's stay in our lane. And other people are going to be more gifted and graced to handle this than we are. Let's involve other people. Let's get other people involved. Let's get people who are gifted in this area. But I love the fact it was character qualifications in order to serve in the church. Who's the best teacher? Who's the best leader? Nope. Who's wise amongst us? When you read the Bible about elders and deacons, 16 of the 17 qualities have to do with character, not gift. Has nothing to do with gift. We'll get to that, but it starts with heart. You show me where you are in your heart. Galatians 5. What are we looking for? But the fruit of the Spirit. What qualifications are we looking for to serve in the church? Those people who have love in their life, joy in their life, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's our starting grid for not gift, character. Why did this church continue to grow? Because they valued character over gifting. We have a problem. Let's figure out and use people who act like Jesus. Once we figure out the character, then we'll introduce gifting, because gifting is essential. Gift and ability is essential. Let's do figure out who's administrative. But the starting point, who's wise? Who's full of the Holy Spirit? And as you read through this, you find out Stephen, it's ridiculous. Let's just read through a little bit, and as we wander through and finish up this chapter, and we're going to close. Verse 5. This proposal pleased the whole group, which is the church. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith. He's just a deacon. A man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. Why? Because there's a conflict that was resolved with the grace of God. It didn't create a church split. Well, we're going to have our first service for the Hellenistic Jews over here on 4th Street. The second service will be Central Avenue, the big church. Has all the amenities because these are the right people, the traditionalists. We read from the King James. God's version, and Mark's. These New Living NIV people, you're down on 4th Avenue. You got a roof. Be thankful. But we just can't live together, okay? It just works. They're different. God bless them. They want to use an iPad instead of a paper Bible. King James, we do paper Bible. It's right. That's what Jesus used, King James and the paper Bible. It's just what the Lord did. Not better, just right. It's okay. Y'all hold on. You want to be new? Use your Apple. Down on 4th Street. We don't like it over here. It's okay. You don't have... Stay on target. Verse 7. So the word of God spread. Why? Because they used the Holy Spirit. They valued character. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. Why? Because they had people who were wise, full of the Holy Spirit. Not the big givers, not the prominent type A personalities. Let's find people who are peaceable leaders. Peace-able. Let's value what Jesus values. People who love really well. Let's put them in charge. People who aren't going to react to people who are prickly. People who are hurting. People who are downcast. So the word of God spread. And the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of priests began obedient to the faith. And now the same Stephen, just a deacon, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. He's just a deacon. You know what that word means? He's a servant. Diakonos. He's just a servant. We're not going to finish the rest of the chapter. We'll move on to chapter 7. But folks, if I can say this here, there's so many different denominations, so many different churches, so many different lines of traditionalists, stained glass people, overhead people, musical instruments, Acapulco singers. Here's the funny thing. This was a church bomb waiting to go off that they inherited from the Jewish culture. And it didn't go away because it was a real problem. And they needed Holy Spirit wisdom in order to navigate it. Soft-hearted people, because God cares about the widows. God cares about orphans. God cares about hurting people. He just cares. But here's the thing. If they didn't get it right with these two groups right here, the Hellenistic Jews and the Hebraic Jews, if they didn't get this right, they haven't even got Gentiles in the mix yet. Yeah. Right. Acts chapter 10 is coming. Acts 10, a Roman. A Roman is coming. But they didn't know that in Acts chapter 6. They're still struggling with you freaky young people, you iPad people, and all your glitzy technology. Yeah, I said it right. Today's speed bumps in my life are preparing me for tomorrow's mountains. Yes. And if I can't climb the speed bumps today, I'll never get to the mountains of tomorrow. And the mountain climbers aren't just the 19-year-olds with solid lungs. It's the mountain climbers in the church are people with soft hearts and godly attitudes and can admit I'm wrong. I need to change. I need to adapt. I need to embrace people who think different, look different, sound different than me, who have a different cultural background than me. And I'm not going to raise my nose at other people who are walking in the door. What in the world are we going to do when the homeless come? What are we going to do? They're coming. I pray in Jesus' name they're coming. What are my speed bumps right now? What are your speed bumps right now? I got hurt. I got wounded. If I can't navigate this, how am I going to navigate my Acts chapter 10 stuff that wants to come and is coming? If I can't get past this, how am I ever going to navigate that? Father, I thank you for your kindness of opening up and showing us warts and pimples and challenges and wrinkles and attitudes and hurt people and broken people. People who have baggage, people who have problems, people who have inconsistencies, people who don't finish and do what they say they're going to do, people who can't show up on time, people who they just talk different. They're weird. They're just wrong. Why can't they do what I do? Jesus, I thank you that you have filled the Bible with real stories, real people, real occasions, so that, Lord, that we can learn and change and grow and evolve into the people of God that you've called us to be. That we can look past cultures of other people. What's really valuable to them, and I have no grid for it, can I love their values? Can I embrace them as a person and bring them close? Or do I need to send them down to 4th Street for them to work out something else? Father, I thank you that you're coming back for one church, one bride, one. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your grace here to help us deal with our own stuff, the attitudes that we have, the cultural challenges that we have. Father, show me my bias, my current prejudice, my current baggage. Show me, Lord, that I can use and utilize the tools of Holy Spirit to my life and repent and change. and come to grips with problems and stop looking at complainers as complainers, but hear people's complaints as a broken heart. They're vulnerable and they need help. And not view them as complainers and whiners, but Father, that I would listen. How can I serve? How can I get involved? How can I bless? How can I strengthen the vulnerable amongst my own house? Help us, Lord, to bring heaven to earth, to make it real, to make it livable, to make it breathable, to make it something that the world wants, to make it so beautiful amongst us, the world says, can I get in on that? You have something to teach us. Can you come and tell us how you've worked it out in-house? Help us, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we look to you as the only one. You're our only hope. You're our only hope, Jesus. Help me see me. And Lord, I expect me to change first before my people. Lord, help me to not fight over microwaves and be a five-year-old over a microwave and bless other people and give away what was never mine in the first place because it's all yours. It's all yours, Lord. It's all yours. The microwaves, the money, it's all yours. Help us, Lord. Help us. So if you're here this morning, you need help, we'd like to help. If you need somebody to pray with you, we'd like to pray with you. As we talked earlier, if you just made a decision to come back home with Jesus for the first time, we want to pray with you. If you've been struggling with church and where you're going to be, we want to pray with you. We got a prayer team. They're going to come up in a second. We want to pray with you. Holy Spirit, thank you for what you're doing amongst us. Lord, may I see my baggage and jettison the junk. Jettison the bias. Help us. Bless us in going forward, Lord, that we would increase in love and grace and kindness, that people would want you amongst us. Bless us, Lord, as we go forward in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Have an amazing week. God bless you.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.